Good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud. It is an exciting time at the State Historical Society of Missouri. There's always interesting things going on over there, but they are getting ready to start work on a new home. It will be called the Center for Missouri Studies. It's scheduled to open in spring of 2019. It will be a great thing for a lot of reasons. It's going to be a beautiful building, kind of a space as a gateway between downtown Columbia and the MU campus. It will give them a lot more room to display art. It will give them a lot more room for their archives and for research to be done and a lot more. Gerald Hirsch of the State Historical Society of Missouri is going to talk about the new Center for Missouri Studies tonight on Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. Well, good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. We talk a lot about history on this program, the history of our community and the other communities around Mid-Missouri and the rich history of our great state of Missouri. And that's going to be the topic tonight as Gerald Hirsch is our guest. He is part of the State Historical Society of Missouri. And as we mentioned in our open, it's an exciting time there as they are getting ready to open the new Center for Missouri Studies. We will talk about why this building is important, all the new features that'll be a part of it, and how it's all coming together with we visit with Gerald Hirsch tonight, Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. It's Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. Tonight we are going to be talking about some very exciting plans, some things coming soon for the State Historical Society of Missouri and the opening coming in the next couple of years of the Center for Missouri Studies right here in the MU campus and downtown area of Columbia. And joining us is the Senior Associate Director for the State Historical Society of Missouri, Gerald Hirsch. Gerald, welcome. It's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk first of all just about the general status of this building. It's going to be actually very near where we are right now in McReynolds Hall, just up the street on Elm Street, right?
Correct. Right across the street.
Just up there on Elm Street.
Yeah.
And talk about how much space this is going to be taken up, because I understand most of the city block is going to be you guys.
Yes, that we're on the corner of 6th Street and 7th Street. In between 6th Street and 7th Street on Elm Street will be the front. So we're going to take up the entire block. The building will be a 76,600 square foot building. So we're looking at about a three-story building. The fourth story will be kind of the penthouse with the mechanicals in it. So we're looking at a very nice building for the society.
This is going to be a move for the offices and for the displays and whatnot of the State Historical Society from a much smaller area for people that aren't familiar with it, sort of at the far east end of the Ellis Library here on the MU campus. So there's going to be a lot more space and a building that's specifically for you guys. Talk about how this kind of all came together.
Well, this has been a very long process. Building a new building getting the funding for a new building is a very long process. The State Historical Society has been in Ellis Library since Ellis Library was constructed. So we've been in that home for many years. And as you can imagine, you know, it's been a wonderful home. It's been tremendous space for us. But a 100-year-old building is very hard to keep the environmental controls where we need them to be for the art and for the manuscript collections. So over the course of many years, we documented, you know, the needs we had, not only with the space, but also the environment, to make sure that we can preserve this history for Missouri. And we took all that information to the state legislature and convinced them and talked to them and showed them what we had and what we showed them what we couldn't show most of the other public of all the art and the documents that are just hidden back behind many doors in the bottom of Ellis Library. And we were able to get a $35 million bonding issue passed a couple years ago, and we've started the process to get the new building built.
And we're going to talk a lot about what's going to be going on inside of the building. But another thing that's exciting is that it's a really great, I've seen some of the sketches, it's going to be a really beautiful building and sort of a space between, as we mentioned, downtown and the university campus there along 6th, 7th Street there. That's going to be nice to have too.
Yeah, we designed the building to have two front doors, one front door facing the university to address the needs of the campus, but one door, front door, the other front door is for the community, for the Columbia and for the visitors that we're going to be bringing into Columbia to have that access to the society.
We're talking with Gerald Hershigan. He's Senior Associate Director of the State Historical Society of Missouri. Let's step back a second, and I assume that the name is pretty self-explanatory, but talk a little bit about the purpose of the State Historical Society.
Of course. The State Historical Society, to go into a little brief history, it was founded in 1898, originally by the Missouri Press Association, which is also housed here in Columbia. During that time, around the late 1890s, many states were developing historical societies. A lot of them were based off of newspaper organizations, associations, for the purpose of preserving that history. A year later, in 1899, the State Historical Society became a trustee of the state of Missouri. And ever since that time, we have been working, we have been in Columbia, we've been on this campus, and what we do is we collect the history and culture of Missouri. We collect and publish history and culture of Missouri. So we're looking at we don't do the state documents, that's the state archives. We're not a museum like the state museum that has objects, although we are one of only two historical societies that we know of that really concentrate in art.
Okay.
So we have a very large art collection. We have a large manuscript collection, which is basically the diaries, the journals, the letters, World War I letters, World War II letters. We have the Clark Journal. We have anything from the Civil War journals, all the way up through modern day business records. We also have a map collection. We have a large reference collection. Many of our patrons are genealogists. And probably one of the largest collections we have is our newspaper collection. We have over 56,000 reels of newspapers on microfilm. So that is one of the largest statewide collections of newspapers in the nation.
And it's a remarkable thing when you think about it, because we're talking about not just St. Louis Post-Dispatch and Kansas City Star, but very small town newspapers back in the days when small towns had their own newspapers. And it's interesting to see the history of some of those communities kept alive with those.
Correct. We have newspapers dating back to before statehood, 1808 forward. Of the roughly 4,200 known newspapers to ever have been published in Missouri, we have a representation of over 3,800 of them.
Wow.
So they're not complete runs on all of them, but we do our best to try to find those newspapers. And even today, we still get phone calls from people who are cleaning out attics or cleaning out a basement of a business and finding these newspapers. And we want to know about that. We want to protect those newspapers.
One of the other things that the State Historical Society does is publish a quarterly journal with some really fascinating articles and a lot of information about the research that's going on. And I want to use that as an opportunity for you to talk a little bit as we get going here, and we'll mention it a time or two as we go through this half hour, about membership, about the cost, and about how people get involved, because we certainly hope that if people are hearing this conversation and are interested in being a part of it, that they'll do that. So talk about how one becomes a member.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, the State Historical Society is roughly funded about 70 to 80% by tax dollars. But the other 20 to 30% is through membership fees. Those membership fees help pay for a lot of the programming that we do, a lot of the educational outreach we do, including the Missouri Historic Review. So our quarterly journal, scholarly journal that we publish, have been publishing continuously since 1906.
Wow.
So it's a cornerstone of what we do. But memberships also pay for a lot of the education outreach we do. We have a tremendous program called National History Day in Missouri, where thousands of students from 6th grade through 12th grade across the state participate in contests to write history papers or do plays or create websites. And then in April of each year, we bring about 600 of those students. They have the regional competitions throughout the year, and then about 600 students in April come to Columbia for their statewide competition. And then about 50 of those students go on to the national competition in Washington, D.C.
Great. SHSMO.org is the website. You can sign up for membership and see a lot of information there, a lot of information there. It's a website that you can spend some time with. Gerald, I mentioned to you before we came on the air that I saw a presentation about the new Center for Missouri Studies Gary Kramer gave at a lunch group I'm a member of a couple of weeks ago. And one of the stories he told in talking about the history of the State Historical Society was about some of the collection that you guys have now that was originally at the state capitol. And the story that went with getting it out of the Capitol when the building burned, I think most people are aware that the Capitol in Jefferson City now is the second of those buildings. There was one that basically burned to the ground some years back. And it was a really interesting story. I want you to share a little bit of that.
Well, yes. As you know, the Capitol did burn one evening. It was a lightning strike that happened. And there was, at that time, that was where all the state documents were housed. It was in the evening, so there was nobody, not that many people there, but the state documents were housed there. And what they did was they found the state penitentiary, which is actually, if you've been to Jeff City, it's about three blocks away from the state capitol.
Right.
They went to the penitentiary and got some of the inmates to help go into the capitol and pull out the state documents and save as many documents as they could.
While the building is on fire. Oh, my.
And then those documents, they needed a safe place to house those documents. So, and since the Capitol was burnt, they moved it up to Columbia with the university. And that was also another reason that helped as part of the statute and law to build Ellis Library. They needed a fireproof building to help store and save these historic documents.
So the Ellis Library building, a large reason of why it was built was specifically to house these archives in the State Historical Society as it is now.
As a joint project with both the university and the society.
That's amazing. One of the things that obviously is a part of the State Historical Society now and will be much more so as you get some more space with the opening of the Center for Missouri Studies is the art. There have been some tremendous artists from Missouri, and not just artists that produced great work, but artists that produced work that had real historical significance.
Well, we usually talk about, you know, Thomas Harpin and George Caleb Bingham, and I'm sure your listeners are all familiar with their works. But we also have one of the largest editorial cartoon collections in the nation. I believe over 18,000 pieces of artwork, many of them from artists from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the Kansas City Star. This is a tremendous piece. It tells that social history of what is happening and how people are thinking, and just from that time period of the World War I era all the way up to we're still receiving donations of editorial cartoons even today.
Fantastic. And again, the historical significance of all of that. This will obviously be a big thing for an ordinary citizen, for somebody like me that just has an interest in the history of Missouri. As you talked about people that do genealogical research, and I'm a bit of a genealogy nerd, so I've spent some time looking through a lot of that, and some of my family in the Ozarks. But talk about what this is going to mean for the serious researcher, whether it's somebody on your staff or somebody with the university that's getting deeper into some historical research on the state.
What this will mean is the new Center for Missouri Studies will have a up-to-date modern research center. It'll be located on the second floor of the building. You will have access to many of the books that we currently cannot provide you access. They're behind closed doors. We will come out and bring them to you, but they'll be open for you to use. We'll be able to house many of the more important collections on site. So if you're coming into the building and just interested in a collection, we will likely have it on site, as opposed to right now most of our collections are held off site, so you have to make an appointment, set up the process to have the boxes delivered to and schedule a time to come in. So for the serious researcher, you know, those who are, and even the casual researchers, you'll be able to come in, be able to access the resources much easier than you can today.
Some of this stuff is in storage facilities off someplace away from the building.
And so, correct.
Yeah. And that leads me to another point, and that is that you have not just the main location here in Ellis and the new building that's going to be built, opening up in a couple of years, but also locations for research centers in other parts of the state, St. Louis, Kansas City, the Cape. And talk a little bit about what goes on there, because I understand some of what's there will remain there for instance, southeastern Missouri specific research going on at Cape Girardeau.
Of course. State Historic Society of Missouri, as by its name, is a statewide organization. So we have six research centers across the state. One's on the University of Missouri Kansas City campus, one's on the St. Louis campus, Missouri S&T campus, and we also, of course, Columbia, and then we also have one at Missouri State down in Springfield and Southeast Missouri State in Cape Girardeau. So each of these, we are a non-lending library, but we will provide access to resources. Say if you're in Kansas City and you want to see some resources that are from the St. Louis office, we will make that available to you in Kansas City so that you don't have to travel across the state. Each of these research centers, though, do concentrate in some specialties. The Kansas City Research Center has concentrated heavily on architectural records. Mm. We have a very large architectural collection in the Kansas City office. The St. Louis office, social history and race relations history is very big in St. Louis. Also, video in St. Louis. Southwest and Southeast Missouri, the Springfield office and Cape office, are more collect on those regional interests of those areas. What we try to do is make sure that those collections that we collect, or those holdings that we bring in, get close to the home that they were created in. So if a diary was written in Greene County, Missouri back in 1850, we try to make sure that document gets back down to Greene County, Missouri, so that it's available to those people and, readily available to those people in Southwest Missouri.
And one of the things that makes this whole topic kind of fascinating, and every state has an amount of this, but there is so much diversity in when you talk about historically St. Louis, the gateway to the West, and going so far back, the important role that Kansas City had, the history of the Ozarks is going to be very different than the history of, say, the northern part of the state. And so having those regional centers maybe that focus a little bit more specifically on the unique history of, say, the Ozark Mountain region in Southwest Missouri has got to be a value, too.
It is certainly a value. In fact, just recently we held focus groups around the state asking citizens what they wanted to see in the bicentennial of Celebration Missouri. The State Historical Society is the lead agency for the bicentennial of Celebration that will be happening in 2021. And one of the things that we heard from all these focus groups we hosted was that they wanted to know more about their regional history. They wanted to know what was happening in the Ozarks. If they're in Hannibal, they wanted to know what happened in the Ozarks, but they wanted to know a lot more about their regional history.
Yeah.
So that really solidified that need for all those research centers really concentrating on their regional histories.
Gerald Hirsch is our guest again, Senior Associate Director of the State Historical Society of Missouri. Their website is shsmo.org. And we're talking about the new Center for Missouri Studies that will be opening in the spring of 2019, a new home for the State Historical Society of Missouri here in the university campus and downtown area. It's Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. Gerald, I want to get back to talking a little bit about some of the art, because I know that it's great to have some beautiful and important art that you get to see from time to time on display. But there's so much more that could be. We've had Joan Stack on before, and we've talked about the fact that there is just some really important and beautiful art that kind of is warehoused away because of the lack of space in your current location. Talk about the art space itself, the gallery itself, and what that's going to be like, and just how much more we're going to be able to see once we get the new building opened.
Okay. The art gallery will be on the first floor. We did this consciously because we wanted to make it as accessible to, you know, people just walking in off the street as possible. The art gallery itself is going to be almost 50% larger than the gallery space that we have now. We'll have individual galleries within the art gallery. You know, so we'll have a permanent Thomas Hart Benton and George Gillett Bean galleries. We'll have rotating editorial cartoons and editorial cartoon gallery. And the building is being built also for the possibility of bringing in traveling pieces of art. There's some very stringent requirements that are needed to make sure that the security and the environment is in place,
right,
for whenever pieces of art are loaned. So we are doing that too. So I think we're going to have a tremendous opportunity for anyone visiting the center to see a rotating exhibit of art.
Gary seemed very pleased with the fact that you guys were going to have some meeting space. There was a good-sized room for a good number of people to get together, either to move in tables and have maybe a banquet, or just bring in chairs, lectures, things like that. That's going to be a big addition for you guys, isn't it?
Of course. We have what we're calling is our multi-purpose room. And again, that's going to be on the first floor too. It's a space that will hold approximately 250 people.
Great.
If we put in tables, it'll be a few less. But we designed the space also to have glass doors in the back so that we can open up those glass doors and spill out into the lobby so we can expand the amount of people using that space if it is like a dinner event or a gala type of event. That space can be used, you know, for lectures, for film series, because of those glass doors, and we'll be able to have the security, we'll be able to use that space for traveling exhibits, like Smithsonian exhibits that travel around. So we have it's a tremendous opportunity for society, because right now we don't have a space like that. This is brand new. This is something brand new that we will we have to explore and figure out how we're going to use and how best to use it and how.
Gary said that even though we're still a couple of years away, that our friends over at True False were already talking to you guys about using that as an exhibit space for the True False Film Festival.
Correct.
That's dynamite, because I know they're always looking for new spaces, and especially a new beautiful space like this is going to be. This gets into some of the events, and you guys are already doing some. You'll be able to do, obviously, quite a bit more. But talk about some of the events that you guys sponsor over the course of the year. It's not just a space to go and read books and do research and look at art, but you guys sponsor events through the course of the year.
Of course. Well, the biggest event that we have is our annual meeting, and that's our membership event. And, you know, everybody is welcome, but we do wish that you would join to be a member. That's usually in October. But we have lecture series that we do. We have the African-American lecture series that we've been doing for the past year and a half. And those lectures are going to continue next semester. We do about three or four per semester. The previous lectures are now available online on our YouTube channel. So if you've missed any of those lectures, you can go watch those. We have our Center for Missouri Studies Fellows lecture series. So we sponsor three to four fellows to research a topic of Missouri history or culture. And one of the aspects of their fellowship is to provide a lecture. So we'll be able to have our own lectures in our own building, which will be fantastic. As I spoke about earlier, National History Day of Missouri is another huge program that we do. Right now we're across four, five, six different campus buildings. We'll at least be able to host at least part of that in our building on that day.
That's exciting. Again, it all opens up as planned at this point. Here in a little less than 2 years, in spring of 2019, the Center for Missouri Studies. And Gerald, I've gone back a few times to the conversation that I heard Dr. Kramer give a couple of weeks back. But one of the things that he seemed very pleased to talk about was the fact that aside from the things that will go on in this building and just the way it looks, This is a building that's going to be brand new and technologically advanced in a way that's got a mind toward environmental consciousness. It's a green building.
It is a green building. We have designed it. It will be LEED certified. Right now, we're still working on which point level we are to see if we're at the gold or platinum level. We are getting close to that platinum level. But we are designing the building as a green building, environmental building. We're also designing the building for technology. We do have two classrooms in the building, and of course the multipurpose room that we're setting up. We'll have cameras in those buildings or in those rooms so that we can stream lectures out to those small historical societies, out to the University of Missouri Extension offices, out to a public school or a grade school to give a class. I know Gary has found it very interesting to give a Skype lecture to a group of grade school kids.
Marvelous. And the technology gives us that opportunity to share that, like you say, with grade school students throughout the state of Missouri and let them see what's unique and interesting. Let's talk about an issue that always comes up anytime we're talking about doing something in downtown and particularly here on campus, and that's where you put your car. I understand there's still some different options being discussed for parking for this space.
Yeah, we will have at least a 38 spot parking lot right next to the building, which will be right next to the Hinkle building. What we really would hope to do is be able to put in a small parking garage so that we can really satisfy our patron needs, so that we can make sure that we are as accessible as possible.
And for people kind of familiar with the area, I do want to mention that this will take up most of this city block. The Hinkle building will still be there, though. Is that right?
It will still be there.
All right. This is obviously something that is going to be the satisfaction of a lot of dreams around the State Historical Society. This is something I've heard Gary and Joan and some of the other people there talk about for a long time. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we had more space and the technology in a more updated building. Talk a little bit about future plans and maybe what's next after this. Never satisfied, right?
No. Well, there's always going to be historic documents, and we're poised to keep collecting. We have already seen an increase in the number of people donating collections because they know those collections are going to be housed in a state-of-the-art facility now. Nice. So we're looking for that increase in that area. We're looking also at the other research centers are seeing increases in services. You know, we don't see this as a Columbia-only project or our office project. This is going to benefit all of our regional offices to help promote the society and promote history. It's going to help other historical societies, the local historic societies, the other regional centers, because anything that promotes history is going to promote all of us.
Gerald, I'm going to get about a minute left. I'm going to give you one more chance to talk about the specifics of becoming a member and the benefits of it, not just for ourselves and what we get out of it, but what it does for preserving the history of our great state.
Well, thank you. You can sign up for a membership either on our website, or we do have some pamphlets and forms available that you'll probably find throughout the city. Individual memberships are, I believe, about $30. Households, maybe $50. So it's not too much, but it really helps support all those educational outreach opportunities that we do. It helps support the programming that we do, the lectures, the helping of the grade school students, the history day, the publication of the historical review. It's just an opportunity to move the society just that much forward to preserving those historical documents for future generations.
The website again is shsmo.org. We will look forward to things starting very soon. Again, just right up the street from our offices here, so we'll get to watch it happen. The new Missouri Studies, Center for Missouri Studies, looking forward to that opening in spring of 2019. Senior Associate Director for the State Historical Society of Missouri, Gerald Hirsch, I've enjoyed visiting with you. Thank you a lot for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And that is our program for this evening, Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Our associate producer is Trevor Harris. I'm Darren Helwich. Have a great evening.